God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. Is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a Lion, the Lion of Judah. His glory with power, fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the
again, just welcome to Katie Christian Community Church. Why don't you just take this time just to say hi to those around you.
Welcome, and praise the Lord that we can all be here this morning to worship the Lord together at the end of spring break for many of us. And for our prayer time this morning, I would like you just to use your bulletin, okay? Use your bulletin, and I'd like you to pray with one or two people around you just for 5 minutes. And we have a lot of prayer requests here on our bulletin. So what I'd like for us to do is this quadrant up here to pray for prayer requests 1 through 3. And this quadrant here, pray for prayer requests 4 through 6. You guys, 7 through 9. And then this quadrant in the back, my right, 9 or 10 and 11, okay? And then there's other praises. So let's just take 1 minute and pray with one or two people around you. If you feel uncomfortable praying out loud, that's okay. Just pray silently or listen and agree with those praying around you, okay? So let's go ahead and just take a minute now and pray as a church to the Lord. You can pray for more prayer requests, but at least pray for those items. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you and worship you this day. We thank you for Jesus who has shed his blood so that we could have a relationship with you. Father, we pray that we might sense your presence among us as we worship you this morning. We want to give you thanks for your blessings of this last week, for many of us, a week of rest. And we give you thanks and praise for that. And Father, for those who are suffering from physical ailment, disease, we lift them up to you. We pray for your healing hand upon their bodies. Lord, for all of us, we pray for our spiritual health, that we will truly be growing in Christ. And Lord, we that we might spread your fragrance to others. Thank you, Lord, that we can have this time to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Beaten, mocked, and scorned.
cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. And now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor to me. Ascent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase them. Good, you
you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song, and You are good, good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh,
down. You're never gonna let me, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You are so beautiful. Your glory. God, we thank you for just being so good to us, Lord. We thank you for wanting us, even though we fell so short of your expectations, Lord. So God, we just praise you for that. God, as Pastor Ray comes up to speak, God, I pray that you just speak through him, Lord, and really allow us to hear from you, Lord, and just see how you want us to use our lives through you, Lord. We're placed in where we are for a reason. We're around those people who we hang out with or work with for a reason, Lord. God, I pray that you just, just really allow us to want to encounter you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jane are just like us. They are Asian Americans, although not all of us are Asian Americans. And Alan has an engineering background. Jane has a background in dentistry. She is a dentist. They have two children. One child is shown here. And yet, by some people's thoughts, what they are doing is a bit out of the ordinary, in that they have left behind familiarity, family, of their culture here in the Houston area, and they are missionaries with OMF that our church supports, and they're serving in Asia. And people may ask, what in the world are you doing trying to adjust to a new culture, learn a new language? Why in the world would you want to do something like this? And here at Katy Christian Community Church for the last 2 months, we've been focusing on 2 Corinthians chapters 2 through 6. And we'll be finishing in these 2 weeks as we're looking at that GOAT, that greatest of all time missionary, the Apostle Paul. And it coincides well for our missions month as we finish these next 2 weeks with our missions month. As we also seek to understand the heart of God. But as we're looking at 2 Corinthians, sometimes people might have asked the Apostle Paul some of the same questions. Why, Paul, why would you encounter so much difficulty and persecution in the proclamation of the gospel? And today, as we look into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, I want us to see some of the heart and the motives that Paul has for his apostolic, his missionary ministry. And hopefully, we can also take some of those same principles to heart. And as we understand Paul's heart and reasons, I believe the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth will follow. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Let's just go to blank screen here. But, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 13, Paul says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." Paul has just finished sharing that in the proclamation of the gospel, there's suffering, there's persecution, and there's even death. And he quotes from Psalm 116, where the psalmist there is obligated to proclaim the goodness of God in the assembly because how God has delivered the psalmist from his enemies and from his trials and from his troubles. And so in the same way, Paul is saying, because Jesus has delivered us from the perils of eternal death, so we cannot help but to proclaim that Jesus has the answers for all of life. You know, one of the greatest questions that people have, and one of their greatest fears, is what happens to you after you die? Or people are afraid of death. And the only person who has the true answer to this question is Jesus Christ, because he himself has conquered death and risen from the grave, and that proves that he is true, that he is the Son of God, and that he can offer eternal life. And so, why missions? Why live by faith in missions? Our first reason is because it is true. Because it is true. You know, my family and I, we spent 15 years in Asia. And we were proclaiming the gospel among Muslim peoples. And what gives me the right to tell a person from a Muslim background that Jesus is the truth? It's only because Jesus has truly risen from the dead that I have that right. Additionally, my father-in-law is a very devout Buddhist. He goes to the temple regularly. Well, what gives me the right to approach my father and say, Jesus is the truth, and he has the answers for life and death? It's the resurrection. In fact, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I would have no right to tell other people to believe in Jesus and not some other religious leader. And in fact, I would have been wasting 15 years of the best years of my life if Jesus truly didn't rise from the dead. And in fact, us, Katy Christian Community Church, we're just a hoax. We're just preaching things like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. If Jesus truly didn't rise from the dead, we ought to close up shop because we're just telling lies out here. But Jesus did truly rise from the dead. Jesus does have the answers to eternal life. So why live by faith in missions? Because it's true. It's true. It's real. So if you have any doubts whatsoever that what you're believing is just some self-help psychology or some fairy tale that can help you, well, you need to firm up your faith. Firm up your faith. So I want to encourage you. You know, Easter is coming up in how many weeks? 2 weeks, right? That's where we proclaim the resurrection. If you have any doubt that Jesus truly didn't rise from the dead, that what you believe in, this Jesus, this Christianity, is it true or not? I want to encourage you to firm up your faith. And you can start by doing something simple. Watch the movie, The Case for Christ. It came out last year, which gives all of the testimony, not only biblical, but extra biblical, that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. You might start by reading other apologetic books, such as More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. Sister Deborah, do you believe that Muhammad has the answer for life after death? No. Brother Bert, do you believe that Buddha has the answer for eternal life? No. And the reason, the difference is because Jesus rose from the dead. And that is the only reason why we know that he is true. As Romans 1:4 says, that he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So why suffer? Why live by faith in missions? Because it's true. So firm up your faith. Firm up your faith. But let's keep reading. Verse 15, he tells us that, yes, after we will be presented with Jesus, with all of you Corinthians, we will be in the presence of God. And then he says, verse 15, all of this, this proclamation of the gospel, all of this persecution is for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Why is it that we live by faith in missions? Because it's true, but also because it's for man's good and for the glory of God. It's for man's good and the glory of God. This verse here tells us that all these things are for your sake, Corinthians. It's for your sake. And last week, Minister Randall shared with us very clearly that the message of the gospel brings people from death to life. So we live by faith in missions in order to bless others, for others' good, to bring them from death to life. Now, I think we need to define what we mean by missions. And so in order to do this, what I like is our back section there on my left. If you would all stand up. Back section on my left, if you would all stand up. Yes. Now, you are all Christians or some loose affiliation with the allegiance to Jesus or Christians. About one quarter of the world have an affiliation as Christians. Okay, thank you. You may sit down. Now, the top half of the room, will you stand up? Top half of the room. All right. You are all non-Christians. However, you live around churches, Christians in your school, in your workplace, and you have the opportunity to hear of Jesus from churches and Christians who live around you, but you're non-Christians. You might live in Katy, you might live in Port Lavaca, you might live somewhere in America, but you are non-Christians, but you live around other Christians. Okay, thank you. You may sit down. Now, the last section. Will you stand up? All right. Yes. You all are also non-Christians. However, you live in parts of the world where less than 2% of the people around you are Christians. And so there's not enough resources for people to tell you about Jesus. And so when we're talking about missions, we're talking about reaching these people who don't have churches or Christians around them. Okay, thank you. You may sit down. Can we get the slides up here? Now, where are these people? And when we talk about missions, and I want to define this as more narrowly, because I know we hear like, oh, I'm a missionary at school. Oh, I'm a missionary at work. I agree with that in the sense of it's the spirit of the missionary that we are. But technically, I would call you an evangelist. Missionaries, I want to reserve that for people who go to these unreached areas. And so can we have advance here? Jesus, remember, he said to make disciples of all the nations. Next slide, please. And click, please. And so that there will be people from every people group. Next slide, please. So where are we? Mr. Randall gave us a little bit of status on that. Next slide, please. Okay. There might be as many as 7,000 people groups. Next slide, please. Just go ahead and keep clicking. Keep clicking. Thank you. Keep clicking. Yeah. As many as 7,000. Next slide, please. And most of these people groups are in these countries. Okay. And in a part of the world called the 1040 window, which is 10 degrees north of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So we can go to blank screen, I think. So when we're talking about, we'll just go to blank screen here. When we're talking about missions, we are talking about reaching these areas of the world. So why do we live by faith in missions? For others' good, but also for God's glory. Here in verse 15, it says that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so as more and more people trust in Christ and then begin to thank God for his blessing to them, then God gets more glory. This is a case where more is more. You know, sometimes you hear the phrase, less is more, right? Like some people, they like to be around less people so that they can have more relationship and fellowship. Well, this is a case where more is more. The more people that praise God, the more glory that God gets. Recently, I've been to several concerts of my children, whether it's orchestra or band. And at the end of the performance, oftentimes the people, or parents, friends in the audience, they'll stand up and clap and applaud. And boy, you know, those orchestra members, that band director, they're getting glory for all that hard work that they've put in and the sacrifice they've made. Friends, this verse tells us that because of the greatest sacrifice that God has made in his own son and what he's done for us, that people are going to stand up and applaud God and thank him for what he's done for them. And he's going to get more glory. So why live by faith in missions? Because it's true. It's for man's good, and God gets glory. And so I want to encourage you to fuel your relationship with God. To fuel your relationship with God. Keep praising God. Keep worshiping God personally and with others. Keep thanking God as a regular part of your life. This last week, my wife and I went out for our 19th anniversary. And so we went to a very nice restaurant and had a very nice dinner. And we sat and we talked and we just delighted in God's blessing, that He had blessed us with a relationship with one another, and we celebrated our marriage. And so I want to encourage you in the same way to fuel your relationship with God, to keep dating God and enhancing your love relationship with God. We live by faith in missions because it's true. And therefore, firm up your faith in God. Because God gets glory, therefore, fuel your relationship with God. But looking at verses 16 through 18, we finish, and Paul says, in spite of all that we face, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It's true. God gets glory. Why live by faith in missions? Because it's eternal. It's eternal. So focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. Paul here says that, yes, in spite of all the suffering, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, we do not lose heart. And if you remember when we studied chapter 4, verse 1, and we looked, what does this mean, we do not lose heart? It has the sense of we don't shrink back. We're not timid in continuing to proclaim the gospel. And the reason is because, yes, we do confess that there's problems, there's persecution, there's suffering. The outer self is wasting away. But inwardly, we're being refined. We're being renewed day by day. And Jesus, even through some of these trials and tribulations and difficulties, He's refining us and renewing us day by day. And then he draws some comparisons, and he says that all this affliction, it's but light, and it's momentary. Whereas somehow through these stonings, these beatings, these imprisonments, these hungers, that God is working for us out something that will be revealed as weighty and eternal in glory. And so he draws the comparison. He says, you know, what we have now, this the problems, the sufferings we face is light as a feather. And then he compares it. He says it doesn't even compare. He uses this word hyperbole, which where we get our word hyperbole. There's no comparison. The lightness of the afflictions that we face no way compares to the weightiness of what we will receive in eternal glory. And then he says that these sufferings of proclaiming the gospel, whether it's what Alan and Jane are facing as they adjust to a new culture and try to buy groceries in a language that they don't understand and live with the stress of raising a family in a new culture. He says that it's momentary. It's like a dot of a thumbtack. It's momentary compared to what we will receive in glory is eternal. And it's like a living for a line. Well, you know, you get the point, right? It's like living for a line, and my thumbtack is just those afflictions that we face are just like a dot on the line. And so Paul is saying, live for the line. Focus on the eternal. And so our question is, what are you living for? Are you living for the dot or for the line? So focus on the eternal. How can we do that? Well, parents, I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us as we give counsel to our children about the majors they should choose, about the schools they should go to, about the careers that they choose. Don't only consider earthly financial reward, but pray and ask God to help you consider what will bring about the most eternal rewards and what will bring about return for eternal investments. Also, it's been said that there's only two things that are eternal, the souls of men and the Word of God. And so invest your life by investing the eternal Word of God into the eternal souls of men. And I know this last week we've all been on break, and maybe you have spent a lot of time watching more movies, watching more Netflix, watching more March Madness. And that's okay. But I want to encourage you, the next time that you have a break, make sure that you are investing regular time into the study, memorization, meditation of the Word of God. And as you go back to work this week and return to a schedule, and you go back to school this week and return to a schedule, make sure that investing into this study and reading and application of the Word of God is a part of your daily routine. So, friends, why should we live by faith in missions? Because it's eternal. Therefore, focus on the eternal. But also because it brings God glory. Therefore, fuel your relationship with God. And because it's true, so firm up your faith with God. Can we have the last slide up? Oh, no, the one before it, sorry. You may know Mr. and Mrs. Chu. He had a successful career as an engineer and as later on dry cleaning business. And in his midlife, he moved to Kazakhstan and started proclaiming the gospel among Chinese and Muslims in Kazakhstan. Later on, in their 70s, they moved to Asia and continued to proclaim the gospel. Now, some people would look at them and ask, why? Why would you do something like that? I mean, you're retired. You're in your 70s. Why not just ride out on the sunset of your life? Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Take it easy. Why are you doing this? Maybe even their own children are asking them, Mom and Dad, why would you do something like this? And I bet that if we were to ask Mr. and Mrs. Chu that question themselves, they might answer, because Jesus and the gospel are true. Because it brings glory to God, and because we're investing in what is eternal. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we could look into your word, into the heart of the apostle, and see his heart for living the way he has done. Lord, help us to be a people who firm up our faith, because we know that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he is true. Help us to be a people who fuel our relationship with you, for we know that you are worthy of all praise and applause and glory. And Lord, help us to be a people who focus on the eternal. We pray in Jesus' name.
God, no praise.
Yes, God, may we just sing your praises forever, Lord. May we just proclaim your name forever, Lord. Because you're an eternal God, a God who lasts forever. So God, I pray that you would just not allow us just to think about what's happening in our lives right now or in the near future, but rather just thinking a kingdom mindset of your eternal glory, Lord. So God, I just praise you for all the things you've done for us, Lord. Just in prayer.
Good morning. First of all, we'd like to welcome some newcomers. I have Victor and Jack. Can you stand up if you're here? Oh, there. Is that okay? Welcome. Also, we have John Chu. John, welcome. Are there any other newcomers that we haven't... Do you want to introduce yourself? Hi, Kyle. And Stephanie? Is there a Stephanie that's a newcomer? No? Hi. Welcome to our church. So we have a few announcements. We have our English prayer meeting next Wednesday. That's at 8 to 9 in room 004. And also a reminder, we do have a Good Friday service, and that's on March 30th at 7:30, right? 7 or 7:30? Hang on. Okay, so I'm missing that. Oh, here it is. We will have 7:30, sorry. 7:30 to 8:30, right? So we'll have a separate English Good Friday remembrance. So hopefully most of you, if not all of you, can come and join us that day. And we've been talking about the Spring Festival on April 21st. This is open to the public. Invite your friends and neighbors. This is an open house to introduce our church to people in the community. So hopefully you all can come as well. Bring your families and any neighbors and friends that you can invite. And then lastly, Focus Youth Ministry has a need for adults who are interested in mentoring and discipling youth on Friday nights. So if you are able to help out in that ministry, please see Minister Randall. And that's all we have for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Let's all just go ahead and stand as we close in the benediction, okay? Let's pray together. Again, God, we do praise you. You are worthy of all praise. And so we just ask for your blessing this week as we go out, that we might be people who focus on the eternal, who fuel our relationship with you, and who firm up our faith. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who indeed has risen. And we pray in his name. Amen.